As we open God's Word together this morning, I'd like us to hear an Old Testament lesson, a gospel lesson, and a lesson from an epistle. So our Old Testament lesson, and these are all familiar words, the Old Testament lesson is from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7, and we'll begin the reading at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel, which we know to mean God with us. And then from the Gospels, in the light of Christmas, a few verses from Luke chapter 2. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" And finally, from the epistles, a unique reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we continue with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" This is the word of the Lord. It's a privilege to be with you today. It's a joy to be able to bring you God's word. But I need to tell you, there is good news and there is bad news. And so often that phrase, good news, bad news, leads to a joke. But this morning, it's no joke. There is bad news. Incredibly bad. Listen, this is what we record at the beginning of the human family. God saw how great man's wickedness had become, and that every sin, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil, and evil all the time. Think about that. Every thought of a man's heart, only evil, and evil all the time. One of the confessions of our church has penned it this way. I refer to the Heidelberg Catechism. "We are so corrupt that we are totally unable to do any good and are inclined toward all evil unless we are regenerated by the Spirit of God." So corrupt. And you're going to say back to me, "But Pastor, it's after Christmas after all, and you're going to bring us that news?" Well, yes. I need to bring you that bad news in order for us to be here the good news. And if you want to challenge me about the bad news, then I ask you only to think about what you hear on the evening news. And it goes on every night, all over again, 7 days a week and all through the year. What do we hear? School shootings and mass murders, wars and rumors of escalating warfare, sex trafficking and sexual abuse, porch pirates and car thieves, drug cartels and partisan divides, bullying and racism and sexism and so many other isms. But you are right. The news is bad. The days are dark. But there is Christmas, the reality of Christ's coming to us. And we did sing, after all, as our service began to this morning, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Joy to the world, our Savior reigns. Joy to the world, he rules with truth and grace. And maybe here at Fellowship, you even in the course of Advent made use of that favorite carol, Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm and all is bright. Is that true? All is calm and all is bright? Well, I'm here to tell you that the news is actually that good. For those who are people of faith, for those who are followers of Jesus, all can be calm and all can be bright. Did you sort of piece together the thread of the scripture lessons this morning? The Old Testament word, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, God with you, God with me. And the New Testament lesson, there is born for you in the town of David a Savior. A Savior, thanks be to God, a Savior. And then to think that the God of the Old Testament and New includes that promise, that incredible promise to us as yet another year ends, I will never leave you or forsake you. Now that's the testimony of God. That's part of his inspired word. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the covenant, the God of promise and deliverance. He's given us that divine word. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. This is the God who in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. This is the God who holds the whole world in the palm of his hand. This is the God ever present, always near, the God of grace and mercy and peace. And he said it, I will never leave you or forsake you. How do you react and respond to that? Does that boost the spirit? Give us some honest hope? Promote for us some honest joy? This is the God who does not lie. This is the God who is not faithful. This is the God true to his word and by his Holy Spirit says to each of us today, I will never leave you or forsake you. What's startling to me, honestly startling, is that in the original Greek text, there are five negatives in that simple sentence. Think about that. God, inspiring this promise by his Spirit, planted five negatives. It's as if he thinks we may not trust him, or that maybe we didn't hear it the first time. But actually what he said to us was, now listen, I will never, 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 do you hear me now and do you get it? I will never, never leave you or forsake you. And God said the very same thing to Jacob. He said it to Joshua. He said it to Solomon. I think he said it to those folks in the Old Testament, rehearses it, repeats it in the New, so that we may count on that as a spiritual rule. Something to hang on to, something to live by. A promise, first of all, of his divine presence. So think about it. Wherever you are in your personal journey, whatever it is that you're up against, whenever you're overwhelmed, stressed out, worried, remember the promise of his presence. I will never leave you or forsake you. Thinking about it in a different way, we will never have to say what the Savior had to say. Do you remember what he said hanging on that cross? He said, my God, why Why have you forsaken me? You'll never have to say that if you're a person of faith. Never. Paul accents that very same thing in Romans 8. Not even death, not even a demon, nothing in the present, nothing in the future, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. In Isaiah's prophecy, once again, there's an incredibly rich and powerful set of verses. I'm thinking, of course, of Isaiah 43. But now, this is what the Lord says. It's the word of the Lord. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Translate that into the toughest of our tough times, the greatest of our great losses, the most serious of any of our sicknesses. Translate it into our present. And what is the promise? God will be with you, and God will provide for you. It's reported in the ancient world that Seneca once said to his friend Polybius, never complain about your worst of times if Caesar is your friend. Never complain if Caesar is your friend. How much more can we say to each other in the toughest of our hard times? Do not complain, because God, through his Son Jesus and by the power of his Spirit, is your friend, your friend. God promises us every bit of his presence and every bit of our needed help in our tough times. Again, from the prophecy of Isaiah, though the mountains and the hills are removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on us. Think about the experiences of King David. Before becoming the king, he met a bear and killed it. He met a lion and killed it too. And then with a simple stone, he silenced a 9-foot giant. And what was David's testimony? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. He went on to say, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And he also said, I lift up my eyes to the hills, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The Sunday after Christmas, the last Sunday of the year 2024, a reminder of God's fivefold assurance. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, I know a few of you by name. I've read your church bulletin. There are needs, but I really don't know you deep down. So I'm just imagining, in the room this morning, maybe on the main floor, maybe in the balcony, maybe tuning into us by live stream, maybe, just maybe, there's a teenager or a young post-high single who's struggling to know the will of the Lord for them, for their life, for their lifestyle, for their choice of career. And just maybe there's someone who has fallen into temptation and developed a sinful habit. held just now in the grip of Satan? Or the person with a personal problem, and maybe it's health, maybe it's job, maybe it's finances, maybe it's relationships. Or a person who even hasn't announced it yet, that the doctor has given somber news about a major health concern, or the concern of a dear one, or the person who's just honestly lonely and anxious and discouraged, or the person who's maybe thinking, what's this business about church? Well, what's this business about good news? I'm just ready to give up on it all, to give up on life, and to give up on God. Well, and there is, of course, in our world, so very many churches just trying to discover who they are and what they should be and what they should become. Prayerfully struggling with the will of God, not only for the present, but for the future. What is God's will for us as a worshiping community, as a serving community, right here in Granville? What would God want of us? What? And yet the struggles go on. But on our foreheads are the waters of baptism. So as a young child, too young to remember, or maybe as a young adult to whom it just happened, the waters of baptism saying from heaven, I promise to be your God. I promise to be with you. I promise to be for you. I promise to be there. With the waters of baptism on our forehead, and perhaps scheduled soon, the privilege of being around the Lord's table to receive the broken bread and the poured cup, and a reminder that yes, the cross of Christ was real and realized for the forgiveness of all our sins. When I say that to you, I know I'm an old man. I know I've got a few years of ministry behind me. But when I say that to you, at this very moment, you know what? My spine is tingling. And there's a certain thrill that's inert because of those words that I have the privilege of bringing to you. And yes, I really do need to leave you with a final encouragement. Yes, the word of the Lord has said, the day is dark, the news is bad, but I've got good news for you, and I've got a great promise for you as well. And we think, oh, I should tell you, my grandfather was a fine man, in many ways a dear saint, but he died a pessimist. He didn't die without faith, but he saw the whole scene as hopeless. And what made him hopeless? Grandpa thought it was the greatest evil to think that we were going to send someone to the moon. For after all, God planted us to be here on earth. He doesn't want us on the moon. If he wanted us there, he would have put us there. One of the evidences of a pessimist. That's a lot of years ago, that first moon landing. And a lot has happened since. If he thought the world was dark then, what would he think today? But I want to give you a letter that was written perhaps about the year 250 or 55 AD. It was written by Cyprian to a friend named Donatus. The English translation is a little bit stilted, but think about that. In the year 255, one of the ancient church fathers, not so long after the ascension of Jesus, wrote to his friend and said, "It is a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad word, I tell you. I have discovered that in the middle of it, a quiet and good people have learned a great secret of life. They have found joy, and they have found wisdom, which is 1,000 times better than any of the pleasures of our sinful life. They are sometimes despised and persecuted, but they do not care. They are masters of their own soul. Now, we'd quibble about that theologically a little bit. They have overcome the world. These people, Donatus, these people are Christians, and I am one of them. This morning, when you hear, in the context of all the news that bombards us each day, when you hear the promise, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never, 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 never. When you have your coffee or enjoy your tea or walk back out into the rain, are you able to say, yes, friend, I am a Christian. I am one of them. And if you are, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed you with every needed spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And even the rain, though it be cold, you should be able to walk to your car and say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's tell our neighbors. Let's tell the city. Let's post it on our sign. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Go and live in the peace and joy of God's great and gracious promise. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in God, we are so thankful, so very thankful, for the gift of your word, an inspired word, a word that brings us help and hope and promise. And we pray that you will guide us by your Spirit and enable us to rejoice in the gracious news that we have heard this morning. Keep us in the grip of your hand. Stimulate us to live the life that you have called us to live, and help us to know that for the sake of Jesus, we have a mission and a purpose here and now, right today, and every God-given tomorrow. We offer our prayers, even as we bring our worship, in the precious and in the saving name of Jesus. Amen.
At this time, I invite you to stand.